Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
And a very pleasant good evening, everybody, and happy election night. And we will be talking University of Miami sports for the next 2 hours. We will talk a lot of Hurricane football. Yes, it is election night. It is also kind of an election night in college football. The first reveal of the college football playoff is tonight. So we'll see where the University of Miami stands in the minds of the voters. And we should have that before we go off tonight. Coming up, we're going to have our montage of the University of Miami's victory over the Duke Blue Devils, capably produced by Trevor Harris. Also tonight, Mario Cristobal, Don Bailey Jr. Last night, Hurricanes basketball got underway with a resounding victory over FDU, scored 100,000 points last night. Jalen Blackman will join us at the top of the hour. And then West Durham, by the time West comes on, we should have the results of what the pollsters are thinking, not for the national election, but for the playoff, and where the University of Miami stands, undefeated, ranked fourth in the country, and where will the college football committee put the University of Miami tonight? We should have that answer before we leave the airwaves. So that'll be a part of our discussion. Of course, a preview of Saturday's game against Georgia Tech, which you will hear right here on your home of the Miami Hurricanes, 12 o'clock on Saturday. We get underway at 8 a.m. Don Bailey Jr. and Josh Darrow will join me from Atlanta for all the play-by-play beginning at 8 a.m., kickoff at 12. Of course, this past Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium, another thrilling come-from-behind win for the University of Miami. The near right side hash mark with Jordan Lyle. Ryan Dayensky will kick it off. He comes forward and away we go. Miami and Duke underway. Johnson off the goal line. Comes left to the 10, to the 15, out to the 20-yard line and brought down at the 23. Ward stands tall in the pocket, fires it across the middle. It's caught by Horton for a first down at the 40. Horton to the 45-yard line on the left hash mark. 21 yards and a first down. Deshaun Stone makes the tackle for the Blue Devils and Miami converts on the first third down of the game from the 35 of Duke. No score. Ward again to the air. He's looking. He's trying to elude one. He dodges one. Moves to his right side. Looking down the field. Fires to the end zone. It is gone by Restrepo for a Miami touchdown. 34 yards. Ward to Restrepo. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a play. Murphy to throw from the end zone and throwing it deep along the right sideline. It's intercepted by Meech Powell at the 45-yard line of Duke. He played that one perfectly. The senior safety out of Seattle has his seventh career interception and his fourth of the season. Ward
will give it to Fletcher. He runs left. Fletcher piercing the defense to the 30. Breaks a tackle at the 25 and muscles his way inside the Blue Devil 25. Now to the 23 or 22 yard line before he's stopped by the safety, Deshaun Stone. Ward on a play fake. Throws end zone. It is caught by McCormick. Touchdown, Miami. A dollop of delight from Ward to McCormick. And it's 13-0 Miami with 5:04 to go in the first quarter.
Mr. Dependable in the running game, Cam McCormick, comes up with touchdown number 3 on the season for the ninth year senior.
Miami going left to right toward the west end zone. Sun is shining down. Shadows are stretching across the field. Ward gives it. There's a big hole to midfield. It's Fletcher. And Fletcher into Duke territory at the 48-yard line before he's brought down. Stopped there head on by Terry Moore. 17 yards for Fletcher.
When in doubt, hand it to one of the big fellas.
30-yard field goal. Borregalla sends it up and sends it through. He's made 7 straight field goals. Call it officially 29 yards as Borregalla. A 29-yard field goal attempt has Miami in front now by a score of 17-14. Ward brings the Miami offense up from the 20-yard line of Duke. His eyes darting and dancing, looking over the Duke defense. Moves Arroyo out to the left side and will go to the air. Flicks his fingers toward the end zone. And George, did he hold on to it?
Give it to him.
He is got it down at the 2-yard line. What a catch by George. Falling down backwards. A two-handed grab along the sidelines. 18 yards and it's first and goal. Hurricanes are going to run a play. Ward fires end zone. Oh, touchdown.
Thank you, Restrepo.
Restrepo got it. In between two defenders. 3-yard touchdown strike from Ward to Restrepo. Duke 28, Miami 23. And let's see if the shootout is on now. Murphy takes, drops back to throw, looking for a home run ball for Moore. Jump ball, intercepted.
Intercepted, baby.
O.J. Frederick has it. He's got the 40-yard line of Miami at midfield, 45, far sideline. Frederick out of bounds, and there's the game-changing play that Miami is looking for. O.J. Frederick, the freshman out of St. Thomas, with an over-the-shoulder interception. His first career interception, and the first interception by a Miami cornerback. Lofton and Martinez in the backfield. Hand off, inside for Lofton. Lofton driving forward. He's in for a touchdown.
That's it.
Touchdown, Miami. Lofton scores. Elijah Lofton with a touchdown. And Miami takes the lead at Hard Rock Stadium. It's a 2-yard touchdown for Elijah Lofton. And Miami has the lead at Hard Rock Stadium. Ward looks over to his left side. He's got George and Restrepo over there, over to his right side. Takes the snap. They rush four. He throws. He's got a man out there. It's caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5.
To
Colby George. Touchdown. It's a touchdown. Touchdown, Miami. 49 yards from Cam Ward to Colby George along the right sideline with immaculate precision and 49 breathtaking yards. And Miami leads it 38-31. Martinez and Fletcher join him in the backfield. It's going to be an RPO. Fires caught by Restrepo. He's got
get
the record and more. He's in the open field. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. It's a foot race at the 10. At the 5. Touchdown. It's a record-breaking touchdown reception for Xavier Restrepo. And they're going wild with the light. It's a Hurricanes party. Miami 45, Duke 31. The crowd is wild with jubilation. And a big sigh of relief.
And the guy to meet him on the sideline, Michael Irvin and his entire team. How about that one?
66 yards on the touchdown. Lofton and Fletcher, high formation behind Ward. He'll take. He gives. It's Fletcher. He drives into the end zone, standing up. And that brings the curtains down on the show with 5:37 to go in the game. Miami 52 and Duke 31.
Nothing better than some good old-fashioned power football.
Hurricanes, well, just take a knee. Cam Ward takes a knee, flips the ball over to the official. Manny Diaz comes off the sideline. Here comes Mario Cristobal. They'll meet at the center of the field on the Hurricanes logo. Coach of the present, coach of the past, and Miami wins this one as the curtains come down on the show and a big sigh of relief for the Hurricane fans. Miami 53. Duke 31, and that's your final score at Hard Rock Stadium.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zgacki, my broadcast partner, Don Bailey Jr., and of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. This week, the Hurricanes on the road, taking on the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech in Atlanta at 12 o'clock. Miami coming off another impressive win, 9-0 for the season, coach. This was a hard-fought, come-from-behind, all-out, all-hands-on-deck win against the Duke Blue Devils.
You know what? We got off to a really fast start and took control early and then gave that away and had to really storm back in the second half and take control, you know, towards the end of the third quarter, early fourth quarter, and then go from there. So, again, proud of the effort. Certainly there's some things in between there that we got to clean up and get better at, but want to know.
Coach, you bring up the word effort. I want to bring up a couple names. Elijah Lofton, he got a touchdown, of course, mm-hmm. and he's been doing a great job on short yardage goal line, but I don't think people realize what his return was on that squib kick, what that meant. And then Jacoby George had, of course, the big catch, but also he made sure Restrepo went into the end zone by shielding off and blocking on his way in. Just after the play kind of guys in that game.
No doubt. I mean, that squib return was a monster play for us. And great execution by the rest of the guys on the kickoff return mm-hmm. team. But Elijah is very natural with the ball in his hands. Again, he's one of the guys that we know has an awesome future here at the University of Miami. He got us right past midfield, gave us great field position. And Jacoby George, we made a big deal of it today in meetings about not only that play, but other plays down the field where he's throwing his body around, trying to make sure that our guys are getting extra yardage and finding a way to finish plays. So it's good because that kind of stuff is contagious.
Coach, picking up on the squib kick for a moment, the other side said the reason they went with the squib kick was because of Chris Johnson, that they felt he was getting very close to breaking one. And so his returns, I thought, on Saturday were aggressive, and that led them to a mistake, which was, as you pointed out, was gigantic for Miami.
You know, strategically, there's some merit to that. But for us, knowing that that is the case sometimes, we do put a capable guy at all positions back there that can touch the ball, because if it does go that way, we're going to make it a positive gain for us.
Coach, Xavier Restrepo got into the record books. I mean, he's the best there is as far as numbers go now in a couple categories as a receiver. But I was talking to someone after the game, and they ask about it, and I says, well, really, he's a story about endurance, being here 5 years, sticking it out, making sure that he maximized his career. And with maximizing your career, you maximize your numbers.
Without a doubt, man. And it's all been earned. You've mm-hmm. seen how hard he works. You see him every single day. He pours everything into it, and he's just battled. And he's been through a lot. He's been through a lot of changes here. Mm-hmm. And he's coming on the other side as a record holder. So and such an impactful guy for our team and this program. So super happy for him and his family. I know that was a tremendous moment. But for him as well as it is for the other guys, the most important part was getting that W.
Cam Ward, he also goes into the record books, 29 touchdown passes for the year. And we've talked a lot about how much the players respect him and the accountability that he brings. I don't know, maybe one thing we don't talk about enough for us is his accuracy. Man, he lands some passes. You talk about tight needles to thread, and he just lands some beautiful balls.
He does, and he does it in practice, and he works on it after practice, and he works on it his entire life, you know, in the offseason. So it's great that the public gets to see, you know, all his hard work come to fruition. We see it every single day in practice. So a tremendous amount of confidence in him. Really appreciate his approach to the game. Really appreciate the way he impacts his teammates in the preparation part, which leads to good performances.
Mark Fletcher and Martinez, both of those guys turning out to be a great 1-2 punch, big powerful backs. But in this game, and it's happened numerous times, but Mark Fletcher without the football made some big impacts.
No doubt about it. That the screen pass down there, mm-hmm. you know, to Sam Brown, I mean, he takes off and he gets in front of the linebacker and cuts him off to assure that we had a path to the end zone. Almost got in there, got down to the two, and then punched it in. But plays like that deserve so much publicity and so much credit, because those are the types of plays and efforts that can change a game, change a season. And Mark certainly epitomizes, you know, what a great example for all of us should be as it relates to both football and life.
Duke's offense got rolling there for a little while. They were making some plays, but in the second half, they had 8 possessions. In the last 5 ended in punt, interception, fumble, and punt. Mm-hmm. So your defense all of a sudden turned things around. How did that happen?
credit to the players and credit to the coaches for some adjustments that allowed us to just keep things in front and get guys on the ground and put pressure on the quarterback as well. It's like you mentioned, we started off really well, right, with a couple threes and outs and a turnover forced. And then right in the middle there's five drives that were shaky, you know. And it's all things that we have control of that we can get better at. So that is encouraging. And it showed up in those last five drives. So we got to build off of that, keep working at it, keep getting opportunities for some of the guys that are showing they can do it, and go get better.
Coach Frederick has his first interception as a Miami Hurricane, but we had a chance to talk with him in the locker room after the game. First of all, what a fine young man. And second of all, just his growth spurt for not having been a part of spring, for just coming in the summer, it's almost amazing in today's day and age.
It is, you know, and he was, again, product of a great high school program in St. Thomas Aquinas, and you know, everything he's doing now, he was already doing, and he did it in camp when he showed up. But raised the right way, awesome family, awesome parents, and approaches this like a true professional. And he's a great example for other freshmen. Whether you're talented or not, you have to approach it a certain way. You've got to be really mature about your approach to preparation, because if you do it the right way and you're capable, you're going to play. And he's certainly doing that for us.
I think he played in the Miami Gardens Optimus, so not too far from Hard Rock Stadium, probably a local homegrown product. We talk a lot about finishing games and the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter this year, you've outscored your opponent 131-41, and you did it again offensively, 7 possessions, 5 touchdowns, 3 touchdown drives in a row.
All that means is we got to keep getting better. You know, we certainly have had some opportunities to take control of games a little bit earlier. And I think it's at this time of year, it's more important to focus on some of the flaws than some of the accomplishments. And we took a deeper dive into that this morning as well. And I think the appetite to get better is really, really strong. So that's good stuff. But we've got to build on that and do better earlier to be the team we want to be.
5-6 in the red zone. That's a focus that started this season, is making sure you did improve in the red zone.
Without a doubt. And it's you get in the red zone, you got to score touchdowns in this day and age of college football. I mean, people have high-powered offenses. They have really good players, explosive playmakers. You want to always stay ahead, you know, on that scoreboard.
You have another freshman, maybe might have to play a little bit more for you, Zaquan Patterson. What about his makeup, and what do you need from him over the next couple of weeks?
He keeps getting better and better, and he has he's developing. He's certainly investing more time in understanding exactly what we're doing, and we feel very confident in him playing. And he is getting more and more playing time because he's earned it. You know, it's not like we're just giving him an opportunity because we like the guy. The guy has really put in time, and he's one of the best tacklers as a freshman that I've ever been around. So it showed up in the game on Saturday, and you're going to see more and more of Zaquan Patterson.
Coach, your offensive line played a pretty darn good game. I saw Maui Noah had just smashed some guys in that game. And then, of course, Jalen and Inez, the whole group, the center, everybody played very well. They seem to be coming back together again after having losing Jalen for a few weeks.
They are. And the development of Markell is awesome to see. Yeah. The versatility of Jalen bouncing inside and outside is also great to see. And the way those guys communicate, regardless of who's in there, they're on the same page, and they play really hard. And we knew that going in, we were going to see a bunch of exotic packages, and we were going to have to block them up to be successful. And when you play against a scheme that brings it like that, there's a lot of feast or famine to it. And they picked it up really, really well. It allowed us to get some really big plays, explosive plays, and really pull ahead.
We heard Markell Bell in our pregame show. Might be the first time we heard from him this year. Mm-hmm. And I think his personality might be as big as he is. But his journey to get here, the trust that he put in you, Coach Mirabal, to come here from Mississippi, and then the job you guys have done with him in developing him to where he is today.
I tell you, the credit goes to Big Kel and the time he has invested. I mean, you even saw him during spring break, during off time, just grinding in the weight room and working on his pass sets, working on his footwork. And credit to Coach Mirabal, Coach Pata, Coach Bain, the way that they work with him. They get every ounce out of him, but he also gets every ounce out of them. It's a great partnership, and his best days are ahead of him.
Coach, how many times in your career have you done what you're doing with Jalen, where you a series of tackles, a series of tackle, then at guard, and then back out again? And just that's a part of the equation. I know you and Coach Mirabal always trying to get the best five on the field and the healthiest five on the field. But how often have you seen that in your career?
Well, I mean, it's doing right by the players as much as it is the program, right? Because you've got to do right by both. And these guys, you know, and we expect them to play for a long time, they're going to be asked to do that at the next level. Mm-hmm. The NFL is not going to bring in a guy and, you know, move over a six-year vet that's a Pro Bowler just because a guy in college is playing that position too. You're going to have to play different spots. And so we prepare them for that, which prepares us for any emergency in a game, which prepares us for, God forbid, any injuries or situations that, you know, provide, you know, a hole that you got to fill with the right guy. So Coach Mirabal does a great job making sure that there's technique overlap, transition, and versatility with all those guys.
All right, let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. And they are more than just a dealership. They are our friends and neighbors. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience, and customers are treated like family. That's the way Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol, want it. So you can enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. And new vehicles are arriving every single day, which means Williamson is sure to have the new Cadillac you're looking for, whether it's the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, or the new all-electric Lyriq. They're all at Williamson. You can go into Williamson, experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, conveniently located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac and have great customer service, then go to your luxury dealership, which is Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
It's Miami and Georgia Tech on Saturday from Atlanta. Hurricanes and the Yellow Jackets, Georgia Tech 5-4. 3-3 in conference play. 29th meeting between Miami and Georgia Tech in the series is dead even, 14-14. This is not an easy road trip. This is a very good team. Quarterback is banged up, so his status a bit unclear. But they're physical in the trenches, right? Both offensive line and defensive line.
Without a doubt, their quarterback. We expect him to play. He's a great football player, extremely athletic and accurate, and plays with a ton of courage. Tremendous leader, and they're mature on both sides of the ball up front. You look at them across the board, it's senior, redshirt senior, junior, redshirt junior. Their offensive line has, I believe they might lead the country in snaps, total snaps. So they played a lot of football together. They're in sync. They play with a lot of power. They play with tremendous athleticism, and they are in unison. They're nasty up front. And on the defensive side, it's the same way. They're big. They're explosive. Their edge guys have created a lot of problems for their opponents. Their offensive line protects their quarterback extremely well, one or two in the country, you know, and their defensive line applies a lot of pressure. So you're looking at a team that is stacked up with some really talented players.
Coach, assuming Haynes King plays the quarterback, he's a guy that is equally as threatening running the football as he is with his arm.
He adds a dimension to the offense that's really hard to prepare for. So you've really got to do a great job with preparation. You've got to understand that they have a lot of different ways to hurt you because they're really explosive out in the perimeter. You know, their slots, their wide receivers, their tight ends, all these guys have been responsible for big chunk explosive plays. They're all capable. They're all really, really fast. And they have shown it throughout the year that they can be as effective as any offense in this conference. So we're looking forward to the challenge. We're looking forward to the opportunity to play such a good football team.
Yeah, I was going to say along those lines, he's thrown for almost 6,000 yards in his career. And the wide receivers that he has have caught a lot of footballs. Rutherford's caught a pass in 24 straight games. Singleton, a really dynamic player. And their running game is one of the top in the top 50 as well. So they can really run the football.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. And it starts up front. It starts up front. And they give you a lot of looks, a lot of eyewash, right? There's quarterback power sweep, speed sweep. There's counter, there's split zone, there's wide zone, split zone, full flow zone. They do a lot. And they test your eyes. Your eye discipline has to be on point, but you have to be aggressive. You can't go out there and see too much and get frozen. You got to play fast because they have fast players that can split you and make you pay.
Coach, how do you handle the management of practice this time of year? I know you go good on good, and it's a belief that you have, and I absolutely believe in it as well, but you got to start managing different things at different times of the year.
Yeah, every 3 to 4 weeks we modify because you get deeper and deeper into the year, and then lucky for us, you hit your bye weeks at certain times, which allows you to, again, get healthy, allows you to get your legs back a little bit more. And right now at this point in time, we're about as modified as you can get and still prepare effectively. Where do we practice hard? Yes. Do we get after it and wear our pads? Absolutely. But there's also some tapering towards the latter part of the week in preparation for the game.
Coach, what makes their run defense effective? They're 25th in the nation against the run.
Well, I think the way they tie it all together, their front seven is really, really good. It's one of the best front sevens that we've played all year. They're explosive up front. They're powerful up front. They hold blocks well. They play with great technique. They bring pressure, 35-36% of the time, and they mix it up outside, inside, and their safeties run the alley very well. Those guys are really good tacklers. They're 205, 210-pound guys that are really good tacklers. They understand leverage. They go low to high. They shoot their hands. They get people on the ground, and they do a good job outside playing both zone and man coverage. So they can test in a lot of different ways and create an extra guy in the box. And they play some zero as well. So they're going to load you up, and they're going to test you, and they're going to see if you can get the ball down the field both in the run game and the pass game.
Coach Andy Borregalis, again, 6-for-6 on the PATs, but a 29-yard field goal, and his kickoffs have been great, though, especially the last few weeks.
Without a doubt. And when Andy's doing that, it's our special teams take another step. I didn't talk enough about the special teams today because they had a great game. Whatever makes the tape is, okay, there weren't any fakes. Well, they snuffed out the fakes, sometimes right. In punt safe or sometimes not. But, there's the things we show our team on tape. Hey, because of your alignment here and the way you called things out, we were able to prevent the team from running a fake. And the coverage teams did a really good job of being physical, being disciplined, and with block destruction, which was key. Not biting on the fake reverse and staying in their lanes, making sure they shed their blocks and leverage the football to allow the other hats to get there as well and take part. All in all, it was a great day for special teams.
I think one of the other things that jumps out about your team through 9 games, kind of touched on this a little bit, but not only the unity that your team is showing, but also the competitiveness. It's a very competitive bunch of guys, isn't it?
I think from top to bottom, from the players to the coaches, the GAs and the analysts, it's like that, and we like to refer to it to our team, It's all of us in there, man. I think everyone knows that we have a group that is special because they're really hardworking and they're good human beings and they're talented. And we just want to get better. I mean, we really couldn't care less about anything except getting better and going 1-0. And we recognize that we have a lot of work to do. We recognize that we have to get better in a lot of different areas. And we also recognize that it's done during the week in practice. It's not talked about, preached about, or tweeted. You got to go work at it. So good day of work today. Looking forward to a great day of work tomorrow.
How rare is it to have a team that recognizes it? Because this one does. You see it in everything that they do, but that's not always the case.
Well, I think when you have a couple of seasons to establish a culture and bring in people at all levels that believe in it, that embody the things that you want to do from a cultural standpoint, It starts driving home, and then when they have some of that work validated with some strong performances and some betterment and some wins, I think that's when it all starts coming together. And then when it helps us increase as an organization our appetite for being 1-0, you know, and so all that coming together is it's a neat thing. And again, I go back to it. It's the only focus is just getting better and being 1-0.
I also think what's interesting, we had this conversation, for example, that O.J. Frederick comes on campus. It's kind of a two-part conversation for you. And you can see what he might develop into. And so the importance of bringing players on campus. But also, when you played Don, when you played Coach, it was about football, the love of football. And I think when those guys come on campus, they see the primary thing here, which is, with this team, a love of football.
They do. These guys are incredible to be around. And it makes you, you know, we get up at hours that people, you know, can't even fathom sometimes. But you get up really enthused, like legitimately enthused, and almost like, I don't know, you're jumping out because you want to do right by these players. Because they're investing a ton, they want to win, they're doing the things that we're asking them to do, and we're pushing them hard. And they're going to be pushed harder, and they're going to be challenged harder because that's what they signed up for. And what comes with that, all right, is having strong performances on Saturday, having success in life, just doing everything humanly possible that is right by them so they can be as successful as they can be.
Coach, the last couple of weeks especially, I've noticed a ton of recruits at the games and around this football team. What a great example your team is setting for them for the future, but what has the response been from the recruits being around this football team?
Well, that's where we want our recruits to be at. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we all like to eat a nice dinner and all that other stuff, but we want our prospects and our targets to come see us play and come see us practice. Really got to come see us practice. They have to be up there front and center watching our coaches teach, whether it be in a meeting or whether it be on the field, watching us go through competitive drills, watch our guys respond in competitive drills and the way they go after each other, make each other better. And that, like, competition here is a welcome thing. It's not a threat. It's a welcome thing. And I think when they are around that, it's either going to attract the right ones or maybe not attract the ones that wouldn't fit in a culture that demands what this one does.
So. And you want the parents here too, right? You 100%. Want anybody who's a part of the family.
We want parents talking to parents of current players, and we just want transparency and honesty, right? We want this partnership, we want that foundation to be set on truth, on honesty, on transparency, so we could build hard work on top of that.
I don't know, when I left the stadium, there was a recruit. He was about 6'8". So, like, yeah, this is the place to come. Large human being, and you've been recruiting some large players here recently. So we all like that profile. Before we go, we are coming down the home stretch, 3 weeks to go. And this is when a lot of distractions come in from the outside because everybody starts talking playoffs and rankings and all that. And this is where I think your focus of 1-0 and concentrating on one week at a time really comes into play, right?
Yeah, there's no 3 weeks on our minds. There's not. There's no talk of 3 weeks. There's no focus on that because we can't. We have a monster game on Saturday against a great football team that has a lot of good players. And the focus is today is making sure that we finish the day the right way in school, taking care of all our academic obligations, and that we're jumping all over film with every ounce of free time that we have and coming in and having our best Tuesday practice we've had all year.
It's funny how, though, when all those other obligations are taken care of, how it helps on the field, right?
It's a mindset. I mean, it's truly is. You know, it's not tucking a shirt because it looks nicer. It's because that's what we do, so do it, because that way you stay on side when it's getting hard, when you get a hard count on 4th-and-1. You know, it's doing things a certain way to establish a very united mindset that cannot and will not be compromised or broken. And we're getting better and better at that. So we got to keep pushing it.
All right, Coach. Very best of luck against Georgia Tech.
Thank you. Go Canes.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. We'll continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show. Don Bailey, we had another cliffhanger on Saturday, but the Hurricanes, like all good teams, they found a way to win.
Well, that's what you do when you're 9-0, and no matter what you're faced with, you find a way to overcome it. And we've seen that happen, Joe, over the years with championship teams, and this team is developing that type of personality.
What do you think was the big trigger to help Miami mount the comeback? I think maybe it probably was the Frederick interception.
Yeah, I think it's that. But I think also, you know, that happened early in the second half. But I think halftime, the conversation that was had in that locker room about what are we doing? You know, how do we open up with 14 points and then hit the lull and get ourselves in a little bit of a jackpot? And I think you've got a room full of competitive guys that, you know, listen to each other and understood that, you know, everybody you're playing, you're the shot. I mean, you make the season. If Duke beat Miami, that makes the season. If Florida State beat Miami, that makes the season. It's no different. And I think they just understood where they're at, and they're taking the professional approach, but also the competitive spirit that has been instilled in that group and also recruited. Coach makes sure that he recruits a bunch of competitive guys.
You know, I don't know if there's anything to this or not. Would you be surprised to know that Miami's lowest scoring quarter is the second quarter? And it seems like sometimes they jump out to these leads. They did have a lead against Cal. They had a lead against Virginia Tech. They had a lead against Louisville. They had a lead against Duke. It's almost as if they get the lead and like, okay. And then next thing you know, the other team's climbing back into it.
Well, there could be a little bit of truth to that. The coach doesn't practice that way. You know, he stays on them through the entire practice. I can't tell you that every practice is perfect, but I don't see many lulls in any practices. What I think happens, though, is that in a ball game like that, you go out and take the first quarter. You've probably, on average, you get, you know, two series offensively and two series defensively. And those guys got iPads on the sideline as well. And they got coaches making a lot of money and a bunch of people that have prepared for, you know, we studied every single game that you have on Cam Ward and on the defense, and you know, the adjustments are made. And then it's the same thing comes true again in the second half. You got an opportunity to go in there and go through your numbers and go through the tendencies and make some more adjustments. So, you know, I think there's some truth to it. If you get out ahead and things look easy, people have a tendency to back off a little bit, but I think it has more to do with the adjustments that the other team has made.
That being said, the fourth quarter is Miami's highest scoring quarter.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's something that has been around this program for forever. I mean, for as long as I've been here, every coach has made it be known that, you know, that's what Miami is supposed to win. And, you know, it started with the four fingers in the air and the fact that Miami felt conditioning wise because of the weather down here. And back in the day, you know, the toughness of Howard Schnellenberger and Jimmy Johnson and how those guys ran a program, and there were not really any time limitations, and they just wanted to make sure that we were going to win the tough game. And I think that has stayed around a very, very long time. And also, you know, it goes back to a part of it, you know, that Coach Guidry has got a chance to figure out which guys match up the best. And Coach Dawson's got got three quarters of what can Cam Ward do best today, or what can Martinez or, you know, any of the backs do. And they start implementing it, and, you know, they've got a little bit of a lead on everybody, because I don't know the percentage. I should probably ask this, but, you know, you go in and game plan and prepare for everything, and sometimes you don't see anything that you're prepared for.
Saturday, Haynes King, Miami plays Georgia Tech. We don't know if the Yellow Jacket quarterback is going to play. He's a good player. He was injured in the North Carolina game on a scramble. He fell on his right shoulder. He stayed in the game for a play or two, but hasn't played since. And it's his right shoulder that is injured. And then the other Haynes, Jamal Haynes, is also injured. He hurt his shoulder, the running back. So we don't know what kind of condition the Yellow Jackets offense is in right now. I do know this. With those two guys on the field, it's a good offense. Without those two guys on the field, they probably struggle a little bit.
Well, I hope that they decide to make sure that they're 100% healed and neither of them play. I'd like to. I wouldn't want to jeopardize their careers or anything of that nature. I think that they should both be advised to take this week off because of there's just no way that they can beat Miami, so they just better stay home. But listen, we saw enough of Haynes King last year in the ball game against Miami, and he's a big guy. He's got good size. He's athletic as all get out. I'm not so sure that he wouldn't rather run than throw. And that's strange to say, but he's got that attitude that you really want in the quarterback. He thinks that he can make every single play. Now, whether it's Pyron or Philo who after that, I don't know. I mean, you've got, Philo looks like he's the true freshman who has set every darn record in the state of Georgia coming out of high school. And Pyron is a guy that is, about a 53% passer. So that's, not what you want out of a quarterback. Plus, he's upside down in his touchdowns and interceptions. But Haynes King is there. He is the right quarterback for them. And he can create problems as he has for everybody. I mean, heck, last year he threw for 2,842 yards, Joe, but he also rushed for over 700. He's a legit dual threat. And the other kid, Jamal Haynes, I think he came in as a wide receiver. And now you look at him, he's kind of like Breshard Smith, how he was a wide receiver at Miami and has gone to SMU and has found a good spot in the backfield. And same thing with Jamal Haynes.
They protect their defense with their offense, and they play a lot of guys. That being said, they play a lot of guys on defense. I think they play three defensive lines, and then in the fourth quarter, they decide who the best four are, and that's who they send out there in the fourth quarter. They've got a very deep secondary that is very experienced as well.
Well, they do, and, I was privileged today to watch a bunch of their defensive front, and they might be the best defensive front Miami's faced. I think they're well coached. They've got a bunch of effort guys on there, but there's a couple guys. This Romello Height was a guy that Miami really went after and recruited, and he's a guy that lines up at defensive end, mostly a stand up guy. And he went to Auburn, and then he went to USC, and now he's a Georgia. He came from Georgia as far as high school goes, and now he's back at Georgia Tech. So, I mean, he's absolutely a threat. And I think they do a good job of rotating their players on that defensive front. There's good size there, and the linebackers, they can create problems. And the safeties are guys that are darn near linebackers. I mean, they're 6'2" guys and a 6-foot guy, and they make plays, and they are – they're very good at getting to the quarterback, and their offensive line is very good at protecting their quarterback. So they've got control of the line of scrimmage.
Okay, here's what we have coming up for the rest of the night. When we come back, we're going to do a little UM basketball with Jalen Blackman. Hollywood is going to interview Jalen Blackman to join the University of Miami from Stetson, averaged 21 points a game for Stetson, one of the leading scorers in the country, now plays for the University of Miami Hurricanes, a winner last night against FDU. So we have Jalen Blackman. Then Don and I will be back to talk more football. We have the playoff reveal tonight that starts in about 5 minutes, so we'll see where the University of Miami is slotted early on this playoff stuff. And then West Durham is going to join us at about 7:35 West Durham from the ACC network. By that time, we should know where the University of Miami is ranked in the college football playoff situation. So a big hour coming up for you right here on WQAM.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.